I'm Hugh Bennett for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. Cover story this week, Decibel Points. The city of Raleigh and the raucous neighborhood of Glenwood South are trying to find a way for everyone to coexist. Before the cover story, we'll go into the biz section and the reporter pages. The biz section is written by managing editor Dane Huffman. Finding a fit for iconic Raleigh site. A Raleigh development replacing homes that dated to the 1940s will go vertical as the next phase in a dramatic transition continues along Oberlin Road. Signs for Bernie Park line the roads at Oberlin and Fairview where the country club homes once stood. In many ways, this echoes the changes in Raleigh, where the comfortable but modest one-story homes are giving way to higher price points. Bernie Park from Raleigh's Beacon Street development includes 45 homes overall and is part of the larger reimagining of the country club's home site. Already up is the huge Hayes Barton Place, a continuing care retirement community, and on the rise is the Budley East project from Williams Realty and Building Company, which will include single-family homes, brownstones, cottages, and apartments. Bernie Park itself has four parts. Rising in the coming months is the Brightberry, with 18 condos expected to be finished in September 26. That concept includes a total of 52,400 square feet and a rooftop terrace, seven units already having been sold. Also scheduled to be completed in 2026 is the City, which will feature eight single-family townhomes over a total of 36,343 square feet. Sales for that are expected to open in March. President Jim Wiley said Beacon Street was inspired by similar neighborhoods in places such as Boston's Beacon Hill and London's quaint historic locales. But he added, one of the important things is that we're not trying to copy another place. You want it to be North Carolina. Justine Heim, Beacon Street's director of sales and marketing, said that about two-thirds of the interest is from people with North Carolina ties. Vice President Scott Dixon said the buyers love the idea of walking to nearby restaurants, but that they also want homes with the quality and finishes they're used to. The inside doesn't feel different from what they're used to. More is ahead. Getting under construction next year will be the Caroline, with 12 units over 21,000 square feet, and the Elizabeth, with seven residences over 13,350 square feet and street-level shops. Wiley said his parents lived at Country Club Homes when they were first married and his sister was born there. So he said his company felt challenged to create a community that matched the site's identity and also gave new buyers a walkable neighborhood more common in larger metros. This is a site we dreamed we might be part of for 20 years, Wiley said. Pinball concept coming to Glenwood South. A gym owner's new venture is all about bringing pinball and arcade games to Glenwood South in Raleigh. Steve Olson, owner of Archetype Strength Gyms in Raleigh and Morrisville, plans to open Super Rad Retro Lounge at 106 Glenwood Avenue in the former Mojito Lounge space by late May or early June. The space will feature an arcade bar with pinball machines, arcade games, air hockey tables, pool, drinks, and more. Super Rad Retro Lounge plans to open in late May or early June. Olson liked the 2,300 square foot space for its location along the southern end of Glenwood South near the AC Hotel, meaning plenty of foot traffic, and said that part of Glenwood South is targeting a slightly older audience than a couple blocks up the road with more of the party bars, Olson said. In salaries, these jobs pay off handsomely in the Triangle. Raleigh and Durham have seen a boom in their share of high-paying digital jobs. A recent report from the Brookings Institution found computer engineering and management jobs have surged in several metros, including in the Triangle. In fact, highly digital careers now account for more than 25% of all American jobs and pay an average of $122,000 a year, roughly twice the national average. In the Raleigh Metro, computer engineering and management jobs have increased more than 65% since 2010, with average wages now above $121,800, nearly double the average wage for all jobs. It's a similar picture in the Durham-Chapel Hill Metro, where the number of CEM jobs is up about 50%, with average wages approaching $130,000. Tech Leaders Headline Carry Conference. Lee Lilly, the new North Carolina Secretary of Commerce, is among the speakers February 6th at the Tie Carolinas Business Summit at the Preston Wood Country Club. Other speakers include Amit Sharma, the CEO of C-Data, Bill Spruill of Second F, Jesse Lipson, the founder of Levitate, Krista Covey, the CEO of First Flight Venture Center, and many more. The event begins at 5 p.m. with networking and continues through 9 p.m. Tickets are available for the general public starting at $40. And a Raleigh hotspot, Legends Nightclub, finds new home. An iconic nightclub in downtown Raleigh will soon be on the move. Legends Nightclub, a pillar in Raleigh's LGBTQ community for decades, will relocate from its space at the corner of Harget and Harrington Streets this spring to 316 West Cabarrus Street. According to a social media post, the nightclub plans to open in June. The site at 330 West Harget Street in the Warehouse District has been marked for a high-rise tower by developer High Street Residential, a subsidiary of Trammell Crow Company of Dallas. Plans call for a 30-story mixed-use tower with hundreds of residential units. Lauren Onosorge writes the Technology and Innovation section. Pendo weighs whether time is right for an IPO. Pendo, the fast-growing software company headquartered in downtown Raleigh, has heard the chatter for years. Is the company ready to go public? It's a question that comes up frequently and one that CEO Todd Olson still answers with a resounding, maybe. We're paying attention to it, Olson said of the IPO window in 2025. For us to be ready to be a public company, there's still some things we need to internally to prepare ourselves. The successful IPO of software firm ServiceTitan in December, valued at nearly $9 billion, signaled certainly a positive reception toward companies like us, Olson said. What's most important for being a public company is being able to very accurately forecast and execute on your business, he said. As a private company, we're able to take bigger swings, take bigger risks. A public company, we'd have to be a little bit more conservative. What Pendo doesn't have to do is raise money. The firm, which raised $150 million in 2021, swelling its valuation to $2.6 billion, isn't actively pursuing outside capital, Olson said. Jay Ritter, an IPO expert and professor at the University of Florida, said companies go public for three reasons: for a ticker, and to have publicly traded stock as currency if they want to make acquisitions, to raise money, and to have liquidity. While Pendo, a 12-year-old company that develops software to help companies improve product experience, is clearly open to M&A, it's the liquidity factor that might have them eyeing the markets. Once a company gets big enough and older, venture capital investors would like an exit, Ritter said. Employees and other investors would like more liquidity. With tech companies, he said, the public market is willing to look at a company that's got good growth and a plausible story for why the future can be big. Pendo, at about 850 employees, including about 400 in Raleigh, continues to grow. The company, whose employees typically come into the office 3 days a week, is hiring locally. RDU rolls out new opportunity to skip lines at TSA. Raleigh-Durham International Airport has a new tool to verify the identity of travelers and help them skip long security lines. RDU is now one of 25 airports nationwide to offer what's called NVPods, a biometric face-first technology offered by New York firm Clear Secure, a company that offers paid members a way to quickly move through Transportation Security Administration checkpoints. NV stands for Enrollment and Verification. The device works without scanning eyes or taking fingerprints. Instead, it utilizes a high-resolution facial recognition camera to verify a person's identity. The technology allows for traveler verification within seconds. Brett Snyder of Cranky Flyer said, "It needs to convince travelers that it's worth the price, so anything that speeds up and simplifies the process can only help. Other options can be cheaper. TSA PreCheck costs about $78 for 5 years. Global Entry, designed for frequent international travelers, includes TSA PreCheck and costs $120 for 5 years. Clear costs about $200 per year. While Clear has lanes in both terminals at RDU, The Envy technology is debuting only at Terminal 2. Durham firm grows as data centers explode. As big tech scrambles to develop data centers capable of powering a future dominated by artificial intelligence, technology companies in the Triangle are working to take advantage of the opportunity ahead. That includes Durham's FlexGen, which is building out its operation with Elite Hires. The company, which offers energy management software, has secured a $75 million revolving credit facility with J.P. Morgan. CEO Kelsey Pegler said the plan is to keep investing, including at the firm's Durham lab operation. He said a big part of the story is the opportunity presented by the rising demand for data centers. The company is at about 230 people, primarily in the Triangle. 3 years ago, that number was 150, and it's always hiring, looking for elite talent, Pegler said. We're going to continue to invest in research and development, he said. We're really leaning into battery storage paired with data center technologies. Data centers will be a big story both for FlexGen and for North Carolina, where big tech is looking to power AI technologies. Microsoft recently bought a megasite in Person County with apparent plans to build a hyperscale facility at the site. Apple is also expanding its data center operations in North Carolina. The Retail and Restaurants page is brought to us by Kate Tracy. In Midtown Raleigh, Exchange Raleigh adds Toastique to food lineup. The Exchange Raleigh has landed a juicy new tenant. Toastique, a toast, coffee, and juice chain with locations across the country, has taken 1,415 square feet of retail space at 1,000 Social in DeWitt, Carolina's development off St. Albans Drive near North Hills. Jesselyn Abril and Christy Kaltenbach are the local franchisees of Toastique, which plans to open during the third quarter of this year. The Exchange Raleigh's dedication to creating a well-rounded, thriving environment makes it the perfect location for Toastique's first venture in the Triangle, they said in a statement. Toastique's menu includes the avocado smash toast, smoked salmon toast, cold-pressed juices, smoothies, and acai bowls. Charlie Coyne with CBRE represented Toastique in the new lease. Stephen Beatty, DeWitt Carolina's executive vice president, said in a release that Toastique's fresh responsibly sourced menu enhances the vibrant, healthy lifestyle we envision for the community and adds another layer of energy to the property. Toastique will be in good company at 1000 Social. It's joining a new restaurant from local chef Michael Bongiorno of Bongiorno & Son in Raleigh's Lafayette Village. That restaurant plans to open in the third quarter, 2025, as well. Peregrine, a new restaurant from Vidrio chef Saif Rahman and Watson Ward's Patrick Shanahan, also plans to open this year at 1000 Social. Other tenants include WRK by The Optimist and Skin Farm, that's PHARM. Brianna Keefe, a former Division I cheerleader, started Toastique in 2018 in Washington, D.C. She has since franchised the business, expanding to at least 17 states, including North Carolina. Toastique also has a location on South Tryon Street in Charlotte. Toastique smoothies cost $10 to $12, according to the chain's website, while toasts with all the fixings is $11 to $16, and acai bowls cost $13. In Knightdale, OfficeMax to close its location at Busy Shopping Center. An OfficeMax in one of Knightdale's largest shopping centers is shuttering amid a wave of big box store closures across the country. The store, located at 1012 Shops at Midway Drive near Interstate 540 and Knightdale Boulevard, is closing its doors. The store is part of the Knightdale Marketplace, owned and managed by Chicago-based firm M&J Wicklow. Wilkow. Neighboring retailers include Target, Home Depot, Michaels, PetSmart, and Ross Dress for Less. Home Goods and Burlington are new to Knightdale Marketplace, having signed leases there for more than 20,000 square feet last year. Academy Sports and Outdoors filled a former Dick's Sporting Goods location as well. Other retailers that have left Knightdale Marketplace in recent years include Bed Bath & Beyond, Overstock Furniture, and Mattress and Petco. M&J Wilco purchased the shopping center in 2019 for $43.6 million. The ODP Corp, based in Boca Raton, Florida, is the parent company of Office Depot and Office Max. Last year, the company made the decision to introduce generative AI services at its retail stores. In James Beard Awards, Triangle area chefs are nominated for accolades. Chefs from around the Triangle and across North Carolina made a strong showing as semifinalists for the 2025 James Beard Awards, proving that the region's culinary scene continues to thrive. Among this year's nominees are Raleigh chef Scott Crawford with Crawford Hospitality, who is nominated in the Outstanding Restaurateur category. Crawford has received numerous James Beard nominations in the past in the Best Chef and Outstanding Hospitality categories. Crawford recently opened his highly anticipated steakhouse at Fenton and Cary and launched a restaurant at Raleigh-Durham International Airport. Also in Raleigh, Bavin Chadawani snagged a nomination as an emerging chef. Chadawani's restaurant, Tamasha Modern Indian, opened last year in North Hills. Ricky Moore with Saltbox Seafood Joint in Durham is nominated again, this time in the Outstanding Chef category. Moore won a James Beard Award in 2022 in the Best Chef Southeast category. Christopher Prieto with Prime Barbecue in Knightdale also received a nod in the Best Chef Southeast category. Figalina in Raleigh landed a nomination as Best New Restaurant, which is another national category. Zach Ezone brings us the Healthcare and Life Sciences section. Amgen to add even more jobs in Holly Springs. As it ramps up operations at a new facility in Holly Springs, a global biotechnology company is beginning work on a billion-dollar expansion. Amgen has completed construction of a $550 million drug manufacturing facility in the Wake County town. Meanwhile, the company January 24th kicked off construction on a second manufacturing facility expected to create 370 jobs in the years ahead. Amgen's first facility in Holly Springs is entering a phase of commissioning and qualification to ensure all systems and equipment are operating properly. The facility will become operational and begin manufacturing drug product later this year, according to the California-based company. Amgen, as a more than a $30 billion company, is investing heavily in the Triangle region as it works to meet growing demand for its products. The company in 2021 revealed its initial plans to build a factory here. Late last year, it said it would invest another $1 billion and build a second facility. It's not so much a question of if you're going to expand, but when you might expand, said Paul Lewis, Vice President and Site Operations Lead of Amgen's facilities in North Carolina. Amgen expects to employ more than 700 workers here by 2032. Today, the company has about 250 full-time staff in Holly Springs, with more than 70% being from the local area, Lewis said. One of the things we found is that we've been able to hire staff at entry level all the way up through significant amounts of experience, Lewis said. That's despite potential competition from other large drug manufacturing projects coming online in the next few years, like Fujifilm Diosynth Biotechnologies, which is investing more than $3 billion in manufacturing facilities in Holly Springs. Amgen is partnering with Wake Technical Community College on an apprenticeship program that includes 12 people who have completed a biotechnology certificate program at a community college in the state. These apprentices will go through additional coursework and then receive on-the-job training in Amgen over the next year. UNC and Duke to partner on a children's hospital. Duke Health and UNC Health are partnering on a multi-billion-dollar children's hospital in the Triangle. The two health systems have formed a new organization, NC Children's, to lead the formation of a 500-bed facility that will become the first freestanding children's hospital in North Carolina. The hospital would address existing shortages in children's health care options while also potentially serving as a major driver of economic activity in the Triangle. The project was kickstarted in early 2024 following a $320 million investment from the General Assembly. The organizations will also look to raise money through philanthropic efforts to fund the project. Duke and UNC are looking for more than 100 acres for a campus that would be anchored by the 500-bed hospital. The health systems have not yet selected a site for the new hospital. The state's funding requires the facility be built in the Triangle without specific details on which counties are included. Duke and UNC plan to begin construction on the campus by 2027, with work expected to take about 6 years. The campus would include a 250,000-square-foot ambulatory center and a daily staff of about 3,000 people. This hospital is expected to generate more than 8,400 jobs, including in construction. Trump's NIH pause sparks worry and confusion in the Triangle. Companies and researchers in the Triangle are grappling with a pause in the review process for grants from the National Institutes of Health, a vital funding stream that pours billions of dollars into the Triangle economy. President Donald Trump's administration has paused certain meetings within the NIH, effectively freezing the agency's grant review process. The move has led to fear and uncertainty among the researchers and companies that rely on the funding to support projects and their operations. That leaves uncertainty because now you don't know if you're going to be funded, and it's probably going to be pushed back at least by a few weeks, said Eva Garland, whose consulting firm helps organizations in securing and managing grant funding. Separately, on January 27th, the Trump administration issued an order to freeze all federal grant programs by January 29th. The move created widespread confusion and is already facing legal challenges. Eva Garland Consulting has about 3,000 clients throughout the U.S., and much of the firm's work involves the NIH, the second largest funder of extramural research in the country, behind the U.S. Department of Defense. Kaylee Thompson has written about real estate and development. Japanese investors back Durham Project. More international investment is coming to the Triangle as part of a Charlotte developer's latest project. Crescent Communities has started construction on its 400-unit multifamily project in Durham's University Hill neighborhood. The well-positioned novel U-Hill is backed by two Japanese investment partners in addition to Crescent's own equity and a construction loan from Santander Bank. The investors from Japan are Kyuden Urban Development America, the U.S. subsidiary of Kyushu Electric Power Company, and NEC Capital Solutions America, the U.S. subsidiary of NEC Capital Solutions. These specific partners were really attracted to the stability of the economy that's in the Triangle, with so many jobs focused on education, healthcare, especially with Duke Medical Center, and all that comes along with that, in addition to the research, technology, and life science space, said Michael Tubridy, multifamily managing director of North Carolina for Crescent Communities. I think they view all three of those major employment sectors as being very recession-proof. Japan has become a leading source of foreign direct investment in North Carolina, from Fujifilm to Toyota to a medical equipment manufacturer. While Tuberty couldn't disclose the exact development cost of novel U-Hill, he said it would most likely be well over $100 million. Novel U-Hill is on two parcels totaling 6.5 acres at 3737 Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard and 3019 Auto Drive. Crescent paid $8.8 million across two separate transactions to acquire the properties, according to Durham County deed records. The developer plans to open the first apartments at the end of 2026. The entire project should be completed by the end of 2027. Townhomes will also be part of the project. Tuberty said the targeted rental rates will be between $1,900 for a studio and upwards of $4,000 for three-bedroom townhomes. The apartments will range from studios to three bedrooms and be between 600 and 1,500 square feet. The townhomes will have two- and three-bedroom options and average about 1,800 square feet. Longtime Raleigh golf course marked for development. A portion of a nearly century-old golf course in Raleigh could be in line for development. Three of the parcels that contain holes at the Raleigh Golf Association along Tryon Road are marked in a rezoning application filed by Toby Coleman, attorney for Smith Anderson, on behalf of Atlanta-based developer Dominium. The proposed zoning is residential mixed use up to four stories. The properties identified in the application, 1600, 1604, and 1610 Tryon Road, are on the north side of the road. The RGA clubhouse and the majority of the 27 holes at the course are on the south side of Tryon Road. The land and course owned by RGA on the south side of Tryon Road is not included in the rezoning. Dominium is an affordable housing developer that wants to build affordable apartments on the 43.83 acres. Mark Fleming, board president of RGA, said he could not comment on any potential development plans while the buyer was undergoing due diligence. RGA is the oldest public golf course in Raleigh. It was founded in 1929 and redesigned in 1998. It offers both public play and private memberships. Lennar adds land in Garner and Knightdale. A national home builder spent nearly $20 million on land in Wake County as it builds out its local communities. Lennar recently bought 132 lots in Garner and Knightdale from two of its land bank entities, according to Wake County deed records. The communities are Stone River in Knightdale and Edge of Auburn in Garner. The sales were done across from five separate transactions. Miami-based Lennar spent more than $14 million on 80 lots, about $175,000 per lot, in the Stone River subdivision. When finished, the community will have 401 single-family homes and townhomes. Lennar, in early 2024, acquired 75 lots in the subdivision. The community is off Hodge Road, south of Interstate 87, with homes ranging from 379,990 to 621,110. There will also be a swimming pool with a cabana, playground, walking trails, and a clubhouse. At the Edge of Auburn community, located off Rock Quarry Road north of Highway 70 Business between Garner and Clayton, Lennar spent about $5.3 million for 52 lots, which comes to around $102,000 per lot. When complete, the community will have 821 single-family homes and townhomes. Listing prices range from $389,990 to $650,000. In 2024, Lennar closed on 450 homes at Edge of Auburn. Ben Tobin has written about the Greater Triangle. In Chatham County, more luxury homes are coming near Chapel Hill. A prominent home builder is investing millions to build a luxury community on one of North Carolina's hottest counties for growth. Pennsylvania-based Toll Brothers this month purchased 76 acres off Highway 501 south of Chapel Hill for close to $10 million, according to Chatham County deed records. The seller was Raleigh-based LLC Chapel Oak Developers, which purchased the land in August 2021. Representatives of Toll Brothers did not respond to requests seeking comment. The company previously said sales for the homes would start in 2025. Per a site plan for the community named Chapel Oaks, there will be more than 30 single-family homes with prices starting at $1 million. Home sizes range from just under 4,000 square feet to close to 5,200 square feet. The community is set for land off Old Lystra Road east of 501. With the population now well above 80,000, Chatham County is attracting rapid residential development, both for traditional homes and high-end projects like the one being built by the Toll Brothers. The location also offers easy access to Chapel Hill. The homes will be right down the road from Southern Village, a well-known development right off of Highway 501. In September, Triangle Business Journal reported that a new neighborhood called Firefly Overlook at Jordan Lake will feature 300 luxury homes on lot sizes of 1.5 acres to 5 acres. The neighborhood will sit off the intersection of Seaforth Road and North P. Ridge Road, and home packages will cost anywhere from between $1.8 million to $3.5 million. Meanwhile, plans for a 600-home community in Chatham Park are moving forward. Preston Development Company of Cary is planning a more than 600-home neighborhood called Novi as part of the next phase of its North Village in Chatham Park. That development is near the new $22 million YMCA at Chatham Park, a 34,000-square-foot facility that will include a wellness center, an outdoor pool, indoor and outdoor gymnasiums, and a multipurpose space. The YMCA is scheduled to open in the spring. A Maryland developer behind campgrounds and hotels has scooped up hundreds of acres near the North Carolina coast. ABOBX West, an LLC tied to Blue Water Development Corp., purchased more than 450 acres this month in northern Currituck County for $8.55 million, according to county deed records. The land sits between Currituck Sound and Coinjock Bay. KOA, a franchise of privately owned campgrounds with the headquarters in Billings, Montana, has a campground on the land, according to its website, which says the property has 383 rooms/sites. Representatives of Blue Water Development Corp. did not respond to requests seeking comment about the purchase. Located northwest of the Outer Banks Peninsula, this KOA resort sits right on the Currituck Sound with a half mile of private coastline, plus fishing piers and boat ramp access, Blue Water Development's website says. Blue Water's portfolio spans the country and includes the Crystal Coast Hotel in Atlantic Beach. As one of the counties that makes up the Outer Banks, Currituck has seen major growth in recent years, like other coastal counties. The county's population as of July 2023 was around 31,600, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. That's up from below 24,000 in 2010. In Harnett County, a Dallas car auctioneer invests millions in Dunn Land Tract. A global car auctioneer with a healthy presence in the Triangle area is pouring millions into a red-hot halo county. Copart Incorporated, which is headquartered in Dallas, paid $3.1 million earlier this month to acquire 10.5 acres in the Harnett County city of Dunn, according to county deed records. The land sits off Copart Lane and has been operating as a Copart facility. At its locations, Copart stores vehicles and helps with title processing and vehicle pickups and drop-offs. Per Copart's website, it operates facilities in every state in the U.S. as well as five provinces in Canada. The company has a location off Old Cruz Road north of Knightdale and another in Mebane. Investments in Harnett County are becoming commonplace as the county has become a hot spot for housing and population growth. Harnett County's population sat at just shy of 142,000 in 2023, per the most recent estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau. That's a significant uptick from 2010, when the county had fewer than 115,000 residents. For example, Rooms to Go is expanding its roughly 1.45 million square foot distribution center and retail operations in Harnett County. Turning now to our cover story this week, which is written by Kate Tracy. Tension in the streets. The city of Raleigh and the raucous neighborhood of Glenwood South are trying to find a way for everyone to coexist. Niall Hanley hails from the west of Ireland, coming to the new country 3 decades ago and ending up in Raleigh. He was delayed here while traveling due to weather and had a good feeling about Raleigh while passing through. Raleigh is just a strong town, and even 25 years ago it just showed a lot of great promise, Hanley said. Obviously, it has not disappointed. This May, he'll be celebrating the 25th anniversary of Hibernian Irish Pub and Restaurant at 311 Glenwood Avenue. Putting a spiffy Irish pub in Glenwood South was a bold step back then, when there were only a few other businesses keeping Hibernian company. But change has happened dramatically as Glenwood South exploded as Raleigh's prime entertainment district, and a city often chided for being boring suddenly had a sea of people celebrating on weekend nights. Hanley now owns the Raleigh Beer Garden, Botanical Lounge, and a number of other businesses located outside of Glenwood South. The Beer Garden, with 380 beers on tap, recently added a mini-golf venue. The area is also becoming a draw for kids and infants. That's thanks to businesses such as Hello Yellow Art Studio at 401 Northwest Lane and the Bunny Hive at 711 West Lane Street. The area rakes in $1.2 billion in economic impact, according to one recent study. In 2024, 40% of all of downtown's food and beverage sales came from Glenwood South, according to Downtown Raleigh Alliance data. Since 2015, Glenwood South has added more new residential units, nearly 2,000, than any other downtown Raleigh neighborhood. Now you have what you have on an average weekend, which is literally 15,000 to 20,000 people enjoying themselves, walking up and down the street safely, might I add, because we have the great Raleigh Police Department here, now showing their presence and doing an absolutely tremendous job, Hanley said. But those surging crowds have created complaints and raised the question of how much will the city allow and what sort of city does it want to become. 95% of the time, Glenwood South is a terrific place to live, said Larry Miller, a resident and president of the Glenwood South Neighborhood Collaborative. But that other 5% has plagued the area for years, and the conflict is only intensifying as city leaders double down on noise restrictions and irked bar owners in the process. In 2019, Davis Holt, a realtor with Compass Real Estate, was touring properties with a couple looking to downsize from Cary. The clients were empty nesters and desired a walkable, vibrant downtown. They loved a condo at 222 Glenwood in the heart of Glenwood South, but Holt cautioned them, before you do anything, let's get back here on a Friday night and see what's going on around Glenwood and then what's the noise level inside the unit itself. Holt arranged a visit back to the unit late at night, and the noise was overwhelming. I don't even think we got up the elevator before they had made their decision, Holt said. You couldn't go from the suburbs to Cary to that and be okay with it. This month, that same condo building had 4 units on the market. On average, those units had been on the market for 73 days, with the longest sitting on the market for more than 150 days. 12 units at 222 Glenwood sold last year, with the average days on the market being 37, and the maximum days on market being 116. One unit had been on the market for 230 days before going under contract, according to multiple listing services data. Comparatively, the average days on market for condos in Raleigh over the past year is 38, per Dorify MLS. While Holt's clients decided against the move to Glenwood South, other individuals gravitate to it, as more than 4,300 residents live there, with more development on the way. For his part, Hanley fully supports the residents' rights to a quiet, peaceful life, so he's sympathetic when residents have issues with noise. He is also happy with the increased police presence. It's incredibly needed, he said, thanks to the sheer volume of people frequenting the street, revving vehicles, underage people trying to get into bars, and other illegal activities. This month, Raleigh City Council modified its noise and nightlife ordinances. The city now requires a noise violator to turn down the sound immediately after receiving a noise citation and to comply with a law enforcement officer's direction to reduce sound if the level increases to an unlawful level. Each refusal to turn down the sound is a separate offense. In addition, the city manager or manager's designee decides appeals for civic noise citations. The change to the nightlife ordinance now requires any nightlife establishment that receives a noise citation to keep amplified sound inside a structure for 24 hours. One person who has lived in the neighborhood since 1984 is Mike Lindsay, the immediate past president of the Forest Park neighborhood. He said it's exciting what's happening in the entertainment district and that he enjoys the restaurants. At the same time, he has noticed the effects of bad behavior spilling over from Glenwood South after the midnight hour. We love where we live. It's walkable to so many exciting places, he said. The downside is some bad actors can come in and mess things up for everybody. That behavior includes property damage, people pulling up street signs, car side mirrors getting ripped off, and a few broken windows. Some vehicular damage is from sideswipes on the narrow neighborhood streets. In the last 2 to 3 years, residents have started to hear gunshots, Lindsay said. People are very frustrated these days, Lindsay said. It only takes a handful of people to cause problems. But finding a balance is difficult. Another resident of the area, nightclub owner Dan Levenheim, has filed 2 complaints against the city and city officials for going too far and, in his view, harassing businesses. In one complaint, he said city officials demonstrated repeated pattern of harassment, threats, and eventually false enforcement actions that have hurt his businesses. Levenheim, owner of the nightclub Alchemy, the Village, and other businesses on Glenwood South, said in a statement that he loves the city and employs 400 people each weekend. Our concern for this new ordinance revision is that it allows for the extraordinary targeting of just a select few businesses, thereby abridging their state and federal rights. Combine that with the fact that this ordinance revision removes any type of judicial hearing, oversight, or review, and it's ripe for government overreach and abuse, Levenheim said. Hanley, the beer garden owner, called the new rules ridiculous and asinine. Somebody walks up to me and says, "Turn off your music on the rooftop." They just killed my revenue, he said. Hanley said in the 25 years he's done business, he notes that most of the noise issues are coming from vehicles. He'd rather have sensible rules and sensible laws for sensible growth rather than reacting to the demands of individuals making formal complaints. "I've never seen anything like it," Hanley said. "It's out of hand. It's not being handled practically. I'm all for quiet enjoyment, which I agree everyone should have." And he noted that Raleigh's entertainment district is nowhere near as wild as places such as Nashville, Tennessee, and Tampa, Florida. "In my opinion, it's one of the tamest in the country," Hanley said. "Has anyone been to Nashville? Has anyone been to Ybor City?" Noise and safety concerns have plagued the Glenwood South Entertainment District for years, and Miller of the Glenwood South Neighborhood Collaborative sees both sides while also looking for solutions. The Raleigh Police Department presence has improved, so the pain point regarding safety has lessened, according to Miller. That leaves noise issues. "Things have gotten to the point that the city is trying to enforce something that the businesses think is not enforceable and in an arbitrary manner, and so there's this conflict between them," Miller said. There are subjective factors that go into this that makes it hard to be even-handed and fair in the application. And there appear to be certain businesses that the city considers bad actors, and so they issue citations against them. Even though there may be some questions about the constitutionality and legality of the ordinance, they've doubled down and said, we're going to be even harder in our enforcement of it. The Raleigh City Council authorized $100,000 from the city's 2024 budget to go toward a social city assessment study. The city contracted with the Responsible Hospitality Institute of California to complete the report, which will be coming out this spring, according to Rachel Bain in the Office of Special Events. RHI works with cities across the country to create their social and nightlife areas. The upcoming study's scope includes not only Glenwood South, but also Fayetteville Street. The city is also spending $200,000 on a traffic and safety study for Glenwood South, according to its 2024 budget. There's plenty at stake for an area that's a key economic driver for the city. In 2023, the Glenwood South Neighborhood Collaborative published a report showing that Glenwood South's total economic impact was more than an annual $1.2 billion. Overall, $512.5 million of that comes from more than 4,300 residents that call Glenwood South home, while $761 million comes from 3.8 million annual visitors. The report also showed that Glenwood South generated $124.7 million in food and beverage sales. The numbers don't lie. People love frequenting the district. Just because you or I or some of our neighbors may not like it, there are a lot of people that do, and who's to say that your tastes are better than theirs, Miller said. The number of residents choosing to live in and around Glenwood South for amenities has been a boon for the service businesses on the street. The service industry here is doing very well, Miller said. There are nail salons, there are hair salons, there are barbers, there are fitness places there. Every month there's something new opening up because of the people that live there. Although the city has amped up police resources, other city services are lacking, he said. Glenwood South doesn't get their fair share of city resources because we're not hurting, Miller said, adding that he wants wider sidewalks, more lighting, and Christmas decorations. We don't get diddly. As other cities struggle with late-night revelers and their subsequent issues they can cause, some are hiring nighttime mayors, a person to manage a nightlife district and to help it flourish. Especially with remote work continuing to reduce vibrancy of many downtowns, city leaders are realizing the importance of supporting not only the 9-to-5 crowd, but also the midnight crowd. If certain individuals are bothered by noise, there are noise-reducing windows. Other cities like San Francisco and Austin, Texas, put the onus on developers to soundproof their new buildings. But do Glenwood South businesses and the city of Raleigh want solutions? It's going to require cooperation between the city and the businesses, and right now the trust factor has deteriorated to the point that neither side seems willing to cooperate or try to fix the problem, other than by saying, I'm right and you're going to do it my way, Miller said. 10 years from now, Hanley sees Glenwood South as busy not only on the weekends but also during the week. He sees West Street becoming more incorporated into the busyness, and more developments such as the Creamery, Blue Ridge Realty's project, and Trammell Crow's project are coming that will only add to the vibrancy. I see nothing but growth for the area, Hanley said. We have a guest columnist this week who happens to be Mike Causey, the North Carolina Commissioner of Insurance. Key insurance issues facing North Carolina in 2025. As we move forward in 2025, there are a number of critical issues impacting our state's insurance markets that will affect our consumers, patients, and policyholders. Hurricane recovery. The people in western North Carolina need our help as much today as they did on the day after Hurricane Helene left a trail of devastation and destruction. The North Carolina Department of Insurance is working every day in our disaster counties to assist residents filing insurance claims and accessing FEMA assistance. In the aftermath of the storm, it's abundantly clear that we need to create a state flood insurance plan that will offer our residents and property owners an affordable, reliable, and trustworthy insurance program that will provide them coverage for such events. This type of insurance plan will require legislative action, so our department is starting the process of researching and investigating options for our state lawmakers to consider. Prior authorization. The December murder of Brian Thompson, CEO of United Healthcare Group, brought to the media's attention the rising alarm patients are sounding about their concerns with prior authorization. For over a year, it's been on the radar at our department. Every single time I make a visit across the state, I'm approached by a patient complaining to me about being denied very basic prescriptions or medical treatment by their healthcare insurance provider. Prior authorization has been so overutilized that it has become a public policy concern. That's why I'll convene a statewide working group this year on prior authorization. I will bring together our healthcare providers, hospitals, doctors, nurses, and pharmacists, as well as consumer groups and patient advocacy groups. We'll invite the healthcare insurance companies to have an open, honest, productive discussion on prior authorization, how it's utilized, and how we can improve the process to better serve our patients and reduce paperwork for those who are practicing medicine. Distracted driving and insurance fraud. Several times a day, there's a serious accident in our state as a result of someone who is texting and driving. These accidents result in serious bodily injuries and fatalities. The impact for our drivers is the rising cost of motor vehicle insurance. This year, the NC Department of Insurance will be making distracted driving a top legislative priority, asking our General Assembly to address this problem. Insurance fraud is costly. For every dollar we shell out for insurance premiums in North Carolina, nearly 20 cents is going to cover the cost of fraud. During the past 8 years, my office has increased the number of sworn law enforcement investigators working to root out the bad actors, and will continue with that effort, cracking down on fraud and abuse in our insurance markets. Plans for Massive Carry HQ withdrawn. The Epic Games rezoning application for the site was pulled due to inactivity. Plans for a huge headquarters campus at the site of the former Cary Town Center have been withdrawn, once again raising questions about the future of the prime property. A rezoning application filed by video game developer Epic Games back in 2021 was pulled late last year due to inactivity, according to the town of Cary's rezoning website. Cary officials confirmed the plans have been withdrawn during a Cary Chamber event January 29th. Epic Games confirmed the town pulled the rezoning request due to inactivity. A company spokesperson said Epic had no updates to share. The Cary-based video game developer behind Fortnite made headlines 5 years ago when it bought the former shopping mall for nearly $100 million. The plan at the time was to rework the site into Epic's new headquarters, but no construction has happened at the site since the mall was mostly demolished in 2021. The company's rezoning request was met with pushback from town officials who wanted to see more specific plans for the site. The company wanted the town to allow a mixed-use district allowing for up to 3.5 million square feet of office space, 75,000 square feet of commercial space, and a 200-room hotel. The proposed zoning change would allow buildings up to 12 stories in height at the tallest parts of the property, which totals around 85 acres. But no updated plans were ever submitted to the town. Epic Games CEO Tim Sweeney, who was TBJ's 2021 Business Person of the Year, could not be reached for comment, but in past interviews he said a new headquarters was required due to Epic's growth. At the end of 2020, Epic Games acquired the Cary Town Center for $95 million from developers New York-based Turnbridge and Dallas-based Denali, who had planned a large mixed-use development on the property. Lauren Onosorge writes about small airports looking to add budget carriers. Behind the scenes in Pinehurst, more is going down than just golf, as the local airport is working aggressively to entice low-cost airlines to invest in commercial air service. Pinehurst hasn't had commercial air service in a decade, but for Moore County Regional Airport and other small airports across North Carolina, the potential rewards are just too good to pass up. Moore County once saw regular service from carriers such as Delta Airlines and U.S. Air, which is now part of American. Moore County Airport Director Rich Cloutier, who's been in the role since 2023, said, "We're researching opportunities for restarting air service." Moore County isn't alone. Rural airports across the state see unprecedented opportunity. Fayetteville Regional Airport tried and failed to secure a grant from the Federal Aviation Administration last year that would have provided incentives aimed at attracting additional air service. And like Moore County, it's planning to apply again when applications open this spring. The airport has a $400,000 commitment from the Fayetteville City Council to incentivize air service. Airport Director Andrew Lagala said, "The opportunity is there due to budget carriers putting more investments into smaller airports." ultra-low-cost carriers, that's ULCCs, are also looking to get away from larger airports, said Cloutier. That's due in part to the higher costs as well as competition from legacy carriers. ULCCs are often targeting destinations that are leisure-focused, including something Cloutier hopes could include Pinehurst. But he knows it will require incentives. It also requires capital investment. Andrew Shorter, airport director at Coastal Carolina Regional Airport in New Bern, said demographics coupled with capital projects helped the airport land service from Breeze Airways last year. Fayetteville plans to upgrade its current equipment to allow for larger planes as it works to attract new air service, both from existing carriers, American and Delta, and new airlines. Two chefs plan new pizza concept for Durham. Two local chefs are bringing more Italian flavor to Durham. Matt Kelly and Tom Cuomo have leased 2,500 square feet at 3109 Shannon Road in Southwest Durham's University Hill development for their new pizza shop called Dino's. With an opening planned for this spring, the casual restaurant will serve pizza as well as wings, salads, and pasta cooked to order. Prior to Dino's, fried chicken restaurant BB's Crispy Chicken was located in the space before closing last summer. Kelly said the new location was attractive for being a terrific growing shopping center and in close proximity to neighborhoods, as well as one of his other restaurants, Nana's. Hailing from New York and New Jersey, respectively, Kelly and Cuomo will be serving the kind of dishes they grew up eating. Kelly has been a partner and chef at Vin Rouge in Durham, a restaurant under the Giorgio's Lifestyle and Hospitality Group. Kelly's other restaurants in Durham include Matteo Bar de Tapas and Mothers and Sons Trattoria. He has been a James Beard Award semifinalist four times. And Kate Tracy wrote that article. Major land deal near coast hints at housing. More major housing activity may be brewing in one of North Carolina's fastest growing counties. HIC Blake Farms, an LLC tied to South Carolina-based real estate firm HIC Land, acquired more than 200 acres in Pender County for $7.75 million this month, according to county deed records. The seller is a group called Pender 1164, which is tied to Colorado-based firm Investor Exchange Services. The land sits off Highway 17 near Sidbury Road north of Wilmington. HIC Land did not respond to a request for comment about its plans for the site, but the real estate developer and land banking services firm has worked with the nation's largest home builder, D.R. Horton, before on massive housing projects in states such as South Carolina and Georgia. And for the land acquired by HIC Land, the company signed a deed of trust with D.R. Horton per Pender County deed records. Deed records also show that D.R. Horton spent over $4.35 million in April to acquire hundreds of acres in the same area near the New Hanover County line. D.R. Horton representatives did not provide comment when reached, but the prolific home builder appears to have been interested in this land for a long time. Per an article from local online news publication Port City Daily from February 2023, D.R. Horton was approved for a plan within a massive development called Blake Farms to build 225 single-family homes as well as potentially office space and townhomes. The larger Blake Farm project calls for roughly 2,200 residential units per the news outlet. D.R. Horton has a website for the Grove at Blake Farm, where homes start from $379,490. That article from Ben Tobin. Our executive voice feature this week is about Mike Reynolds. He's the division president for Raleigh of Taylor Morrison as a home builder. Mike Reynolds' path to running a division for a home builder wasn't typical. He believes it's what set him up for success. He started out as an accountant, partially because he loved math and solving puzzles, but eventually he realized he was ready for something different, something where he could still solve puzzles but see the results from the work he was doing. I like that I could bring my mom through the neighborhood and say to my mom I was part of building this, and it's something tangible and visible, which is a big difference from what I was doing, Reynolds said. For me, I wanted something more tangible and impactful. After learning the ropes at various builders, he landed at Taylor Morrison as division president in 2023. What do you expect to see in the Triangle housing market for 2025, the TBJ asked. I think you'll see continued demand. Demand is very strong. In-migration patterns and our general affordability are certainly driving the demand side in housing. New construction is poised to fulfill that demand, and it's specifically because we can offer below-market interest rates. That's very attractive to buyers right now. What about interest rates? Our expectation is that they will be stable somewhere in the 6 to 7% range. I think the market has accepted that now as the norm. But new construction builders can offer that below market rate to help with affordability and payments. From time to time, that rate can change, but we're offering anything from interest rates in the high fours, so call it 4.75 to 5%, to somewhere in the low five range. And again, it changes from time to time based on the market. But if that's 150 to 200 basis point decrease over what someone could get at market, that's a large impact to their monthly payment. So it makes it a lot more affordable for that buyer. What are Taylor Morrison's plans for beyond 2025? In 2025, locally, we've set to grow anywhere from 20 to 25%. We'll be opening a number of new neighborhoods, specifically in the first half of the year. We're expanding our community count, so not just the same store sales, if you will. But we should close 20 to 25% more houses this year than we did in 2024, where we grew as well. It's reflective of the demand. The other thing we're trying to keep our pulse on is maintaining affordability. As interest rates have impacted the greater economy, we're trying to make sure that we put finishes and choices options in houses that people truly value and thus are willing to pay for. What features are buyers wanting right now? We're seeing very high demand and have been for a while for outdoor space. So outdoor space that you can utilize, that's a big desire. The other thing is still open floor plan, that open concept kitchen family room. It's a newer look. We've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Hugh Bennett, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. So long until next time. Thank you for listening toward the North Carolina Reading Service.